Hi, everyone, and welcome to the HR Happy Hour Network. This is the Play-by-Play podcast hosted by myself, Jack McFarlane, and Nick Schlemmer. This is an episode that we have been looking forward to for a long time. We finally have a guest episode. We were talking about it in our year in review and our upcoming that we are hitting it hard with guests this year, and we are starting it off with a bang. Today's guest currently works in the financial service industry as a digital assets trader. He's a real estate investor. He has a bachelor's in neuroscience and is currently working on his MBA and master's of finance. Please help us in welcoming back Colin Canyon.
Hey, everyone. How's it going?
Well, Jack, what do you say? Let's hop right into cryptocurrency. And we're excited to have Colin on the show. And we'll just get it started. So, Colin, if you want to just jump right into pretty much the basics, what exactly is cryptocurrency? Kind of how does it work? Just kind of the basic intro.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. So I think crypto, it can be kind of a scary thing for people new to the industry, especially for those who are a little bit older, because it is kind of an advanced technology that they're not used to. And some people are afraid of change. And the truth is that cryptocurrency is change. And I see it bringing a lot of change to the finance industry and to the world in the coming years. And so what is crypto? Well, to go a little deeper, cryptography is kind of the art of codes or decrypting things and encrypting things. And so what that comes down to is something called the blockchain, which you might have heard of. The blockchain is a shared immutable ledger. And a ledger is something that goes back to accounting where it keeps a record, it keeps track of information. So why is this blockchain so important and crypto with, you know, encoding things and kind of making those codes? Well, what it comes down to is nowadays with the internet, so many things are becoming digital. And so that is really what digital assets pride themselves in, the ability to move things, trade things, make things online, and send them without intermediaries. So for example, I'll give you a little example that might help explain it. Today, if we want to send money, if I want to send money to Nick, I have to go to my bank and I have to say, hey, take this money out of my account, move it to Nick. It takes time. Sometimes it costs money. And I have to rely on that bank that they're not going to suddenly close down, as that has happened in the past. Even with, you know, the FDIC insuring some of our money, a bank can close down and you can lose some money, which is unfortunate. So what cryptocurrency helps to solve, and especially Bitcoin, which is the largest and the one that a lot of people look to, it helps us to have a source of currency that we can trade, and we can do so without a third party. And so an example of this, say that we're in the park together. Jack and I are in the park and I have one orange and I'm going to give that orange to Jack. Well, when we're physically together, it's easy to see that I had one orange, I gave it to Jack. Now I don't have an orange and he does. And we have proof of that because there's a physical orange. But say I just have a digital orange or a picture of an orange. It's very difficult to keep track of things when they're online and when they're digital, because what if I copy that picture of an orange and then I have three and now I send them out to different people? How can you keep track of that original orange and make sure that I'm not giving it out to multiple people or creating new ones when I shouldn't be? That is why crypto and this blockchain or digital ledger is so important, because it keeps track of those digital things like a digital orange to make sure that I'm not copying my orange and making fake ones and sending it out to all types of different people. And so if we go a little deeper into that, what's really happening here is that obviously we could have one person keep track of that digital ledger, but then we run into the same problem where that person is suddenly like a bank. If they want to, they can go into that ledger and they can falsify things. They can mark themselves having 100 oranges. And then we have run into that exact same problem of having a middleman or a centralized institution. Mm-hmm. Bitcoin is decentralized, which, as we mentioned, means that there is no one person in charge of it. There is no company over Bitcoin. And in fact, the history of Bitcoin, the lore behind it, is really intriguing, because there was something called the Bitcoin White Pages that came out. There was a man with a, most people think is a fake name, Satoshi Nakamoto. And he came up with these Bitcoin white pages, the whole idea for Bitcoin, but no one knows who it is. And then Bitcoin came about. And so Bitcoin is decentralized, which means when you hear of somebody mining Bitcoin, each person that is mining it, that is coming up with new Bitcoin there, basically keeping track of updating that ledger that's keeping track of, okay, well, I sent one Bitcoin to this person and then they sent it to this person. And each person that is mining Bitcoin on their own separate computer is keeping a ledger or keeping a record of where that Bitcoin is moving and when it's changing hands. That way, nobody can just copy it or say that they have more Bitcoin than they do. And so that kind of is a big way of saying that's why it is so amazing of a technology, because we don't have to trust that middleman. And if I want to, I could send Jack one Bitcoin right now without anyone in the middle. And all of those different computers, all of those miners are going to keep track of that switching hands. That way I can't falsify it or tell a false story. So hopefully that gives you a little description of crypto.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And hey, be my guest. If you want to send one Bitcoin, two Bitcoins, I will gladly accept any Bitcoin donations that you might have to give. But now that we kind of have a little bit of the basics, where and how would you go about buying or mining to get these cryptocurrencies?
Yeah, so today it's easier than ever to buy crypto, I will say. And so of course there are many different platforms from Coinbase, Binance, Kraken, Gemini. A lot of those are the larger names, where you can go and you can make an account, you can transfer money in, and you can buy crypto, whether that's Bitcoin, Ethereum, or one of the other many altcoins is what people call them, which really just means it's a type of cryptocurrency, but it's not one of the bigger ones like Bitcoin. An altcoin is a smaller one. It's got some backing, it's got a reason behind it, but like I said, it's not Bitcoin, but you can potentially buy it on an exchange like Coinbase. And so that's one way to do it. There are also platforms like Webull, like Robinhood, where they allow you to both buy stocks on the stock market, but you can also buy several types of crypto like Bitcoin. Nowadays, with the recent passing of the Bitcoin ETF, you can even go to different institutions that have a Bitcoin ETF and you can purchase their ETF, which means you can buy in on the potential gains of Bitcoin without personally holding Bitcoin. And so that allows you to go and buy it rather than, getting a crypto exchange. You can actually buy it on an exchange, and then own a portion of that return of Bitcoin without feeling like you're solely responsible for holding this Bitcoin and being responsible for it. So really, there are a lot of different ways that you can buy it. Mining it is a bit more difficult, especially nowadays when so many people are mining it. You have to have really a really powerful computer or computers to even be able to mine it. It takes a lot of power. You need to have a lot of cooling as well, because systems are likely to overheat when you are generating so much power. And so that's something a bit more complex, but certainly something you can learn about online if you're interested in mining.
Yeah, no, that's great. And you mentioned about kind of how it goes buying it, but once you have it, I know that there are some options to where you could actually use that as a currency to purchase something else per se. And an interesting fact that I found was that over 15,000 companies throughout the US allow you to use Bitcoin to purchase something. And is that something that you think we'll see kind of more often here in the future, like Bitcoin being used as like a debit or credit card or something of that nature? Or what do you think about that?
I think it definitely has potential, and it is exciting to see so many different places starting to accept crypto. I know there are even places where you can get your paycheck from work in cryptocurrency, or you can even take it to some of the platforms and immediately convert it over to cryptocurrency and use them as like where you can receive your paycheck. My concern with that is at this time, cryptocurrency is very volatile, which means, last week Bitcoin dropped down into the 60,000s. Yesterday, it was back up to 70,000. So the price is constantly moving. So certainly there are cryptocurrencies you can use. I'd say it's generally easier. We could see like stable coins, which hold their value, be a source where we could go out and we could, be trading the currency for goods and services and things like that. But the problem with doing it directly with Bitcoin is that price volatility, where your Bitcoin might be worth a lot more tomorrow, and it's hard to say if it's actually a worthwhile trade when the price does move so much. Another problem is some cryptocurrencies are a lot faster and cheaper to trade and move than others. So some of them, like Ethereum, for example, can sometimes be seen as a little more costly and slower to trade and move, whereas things like Solana are seen to be better on that front, where you can move and trade them faster. And so I'd say as crypto continues to mature, I think there will be cryptocurrencies that come forward as the ones that are utilized as payment sources because they'll be fast and they'll be cheap to send. And so certainly that can be an option right now, but like I mentioned, until the price volatility slows down and we see Bitcoin maintain more of a certain price, it is difficult to see it being used too much as that form of trade and currency.
Yeah, it just
Yeah,
kind of seems
that's
like a lot
really
of
interesting.
risk. Yeah, go ahead.
Right, exactly. And I think if most people can avoid that risk, they will, at least for the time being. I mean, Bitcoin is still so young. I think 2009 was the year when it came about. And so as it continues to grow and we see the market cap grow, that volatility should decrease is what people expect.
Yeah, that's very interesting to think about. And as you mentioned, it's very, it fluctuates a lot in
Yes.
price, day to day, even hour to hour, even sometimes. I know I'm watching it. It can go crazy some days. So when do you think, or maybe what do you look for? Maybe you don't have to tell us all your secrets, but what do you look for when buying into a coin or when you're going to sell? Do you have like, if it gets to this price, I am selling no matter what, or if it drops down here, I'm buying no matter what? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. I think the first thing that I always share, of course, not financial advice, but my personal philosophy is to never invest more than I can afford to lose. That's because, as I mentioned, Bitcoin is still very new. There are a lot of other cryptocurrencies that are even newer and more speculative. That means you could invest in an altcoin, and there's no guarantee that it's still going to be around tomorrow. Obviously, I have a lot more faith in Bitcoin itself. It is very large, it has trillions of dollars in it. And a lot of people see its use case. And so I personally see Bitcoin being around. But when you invest in cryptocurrencies, make sure you use caution and always do your research. But this is really a great question because anytime you are investing in something like this, a lot of people see the cryptocurrency space as like the early internet days, the early dot-com boom. And so that, in that case, there are certainly going to be cryptos that are not going to be around for the long term. That does that mean you can't invest in them? No, but that means that you need to have a plan. One reason I personally like investing in crypto is because I can get such incredible returns. I mean, I could go and put all my money in the S&P 500 and I could hope for an 8 to 10% return on yearly average. But the truth is that I can find cryptocurrency projects and in a week, in a month, I can double my money, which is something that's kind of crazy to even imagine. As I mentioned, you have to use caution because not every crypto is going to double or even go up in price. But if you have that knowledge and you do your research, you can find projects that you love and you see a use case for. And so I'd recommend using resources like Investopedia is a good place where you can find a lot of information on different cryptocurrencies. There are a lot of people on YouTube and social media that will share information, but you certainly have to be careful because some people are paid to promote cryptocurrencies, for example. And so you definitely have to do your research and try to be as unbiased as possible when you listen to people give information, especially about the smaller crypto projects. And then what it really comes down to, if you find a crypto project, you really like it, you say, okay, I'm going to invest in this. As you were saying, Jack, it's important to establish what is your end goal. First off, when am I going to buy? Something I kind of look for that I hear a lot, when the markets are especially green and everyone is buying, is that's usually more the time to look at selling. And when the market's very red, you've seen it going down, everyone's afraid. Everyone's afraid and they're saying, oh, this could go to zero, I'm selling. And you see it really pull back. That's when I usually look to buy. And usually, I mean, a lot of people do lose money in the market, and that's why most of the time you want to do the opposite of what the normal trader is doing because they don't really know what they're doing. And so when they're selling, maybe a good time to think about buying because it's in the red. Prices are down. And when it's very green and everyone is FOMOing in and they're buying just because they see everyone else buying, that's often a good time to start taking profits off the table and sell out. But specifically for me, what I do to make sure that, I don't put too much emotion into my trades because when it comes to money, when it comes to investing, you really have to take your emotion out of it because it's very easy to get caught up in, well, I could have made more money, or oh, I'm down and I feel like I need to sell. What you need to do is beforehand, you need to say, okay, I feel good about this project. I've researched it. I like the founders. I like the progress that they're making. And maybe there are some venture capitalists investing in this, or these people that are really big are investing in it. It's got their attention. I'm going to put some money in. Once you put money in, you need to establish, okay, at this point, I'm going to get out. Whether that's I want to hold it for 1 year and then sell it, no matter what the price is, I'm going to hold it until this price because I've done some analysis and I think it could get to this price. I think it could go from $1 to $2 a coin. And once it hits $2, I'm going to sell out, even though it could potentially go higher. That is my price. I'm going to take that money and then I can put it in something else. So it's really important that you establish beforehand, this is the point where I'm going to sell out. Because if you don't, you could say, well, I'm just going to keep riding it because I think it could go higher. And then, as we saw with the past couple of years, very quickly the prices can go down. We can certainly see a situation where prices drop. And then suddenly you had that chance to take all those profits, and now you're negative on the coin. And now you either have to hold it or sell it at a loss. And so it's very easy to become greedy, and you need to make sure that you establish beforehand, this is my plan, and I'm going to stick to it, all emotions aside.
Yeah, no, that's great. And I want to hit on a point where we're talking about all these different transactions of people buying, people selling, being in the red, being in the green. But I have a statistic here on Ethereum, and it says that there's over 1.1 million transactions for Ethereum per day, which is statistically higher than Bitcoin. So my question is, with all these transactions, how much does that really fluctuate, like the market value of that coin?
Yeah, it can be substantial. I know Jack mentioned before he's watched it, and hour by hour it can change. I've seen it where minute by minute it can drop or jump an incredible amount. And that's because, there are so many different investors in these cryptos. Some of them are, just retail like you and me, but there are institutions like hedge funds and bigger companies like that that will suddenly just buy millions of dollars worth of that coin. And that can really make the price jump or drop. And so, just day by day, we've seen coins like Ethereum jump or drop 10, 20% or more, which is incredible. I mean, you could have bought the coin in the morning and then you could suddenly be up 20% on your investment just in one day, which is hard to imagine. That is why it's the risk reward that it comes down to. It is so high risk. You could lose a lot of money, but you could also gain a lot of money. And that's why I really like it because, like I said, if you do your research, you can make a lot of money in crypto and it's exciting. Especially when you're younger, you're starting to, just grow your wealth. I think when you're younger, you have there's a lot less to lose, but there's a lot. I guess what I should say, there's a lot more to lose if you don't take those risks. Because right now, I can easily make another $1,000, but if I could turn $1,000 into $10,000 through cryptocurrency, that could benefit me so much in the future. And why wouldn't I take that opportunity if I believe in a coin and I see its use case in the future? And so I think if you're young, definitely do research on it because there's so much opportunity in crypto.
Yeah, that's perfect. I totally agree. And this whole episode we've been, crypto is a very futuristic, if you want to think of it like that, product or service. And for one last question, we kind of want to get your personal thoughts on where you think the future of crypto as a whole might go.
Yeah, I'd love to share that, and I'd love to share. Of course, I do a lot of research. I read from a lot of, more financial experts who do a lot of analysis, and they try to figure out where could Bitcoin and crypto realistically go. And what I'd like to share to kind of back this up is the economics of money and Bitcoin. And so what economics comes down to, I know a lot of people hate economics, but just based off of what is money and what makes a good money. For example, we'll look at three. We'll look at Bitcoin, gold, and the US dollar. Each have, been used as a currency in some form. And so what makes each one a good form of money and why might one be better than another? Well, first we'll look at gold. I mean, the things that make a good form of money is it durable? Is it portable? Is it fungible? Can you verify it? Is it divisible? Scarce? Does it have an established history? And is it sensor resistant? And so looking at that, obviously gold, which has been used as money in the past, is it durable? Yes, gold is very durable. But what makes it so bad as money is that it is not portable. I mean, imagine carrying around a pocket full of gold.
True.
It's so heavy. It's going to be so hard to trade. And you can see that so many people are already moving away from physical money because it is so difficult. Another one is verifiable. You can make fake gold, and most people cannot tell the difference between real gold and fake gold, and that makes it so difficult to use it. Divisible, you can't really just split up a gold bar easily. You can make gold coins, but you still run into that problem. And censor resistant, you can have a government come in and say, this is how much gold is worth, or now it's no longer worth that, which we've seen in the past. If you look through economics, the government has very much controlled the price of gold and changed it and said what it's worth compared to the dollar, and that's a problem. So now the US dollar that we use today, obviously it's not very durable because physical dollars are very easy to get wet, to lose, to break. Portable, it's somewhat portable. The dollar itself, you can put in your pocket and carry it around. And you can also use, banks to transfer it. But once again, it's kind of slow. It can be kind of costly to do. You can verify it, but with the same thing with gold, you can certainly make fake dollars. And that's a problem that we run into often is that counterfeit money. Divisible, you can go down to cents, but ultimately you still run into problems where, you can only divide down that money so much and so small. And then if you want to make it really big, then you need so many dollars to do that. But I think one of the biggest problems, two of the biggest problems with the US dollar is that one, the scarcity. It is not scarce at all. I mean, we saw just with, during COVID-19 and everything that happened, the government can print as much money as they want. And so the US dollar is in no way scarce, which inflates the price and causes so many problems with goods and services. I know everyone has seen how expensive it is just to go to the grocery store today. And that's because the US dollar is not scarce and censorship, resistant. The government has complete control over the price of that dollar. They could print more, they can do whatever they want with it. And that's a problem for us because we have no control over it. Now, Bitcoin is often seen to be, the better source of money because it does check so many of these boxes. It is 100% portable. You can carry it around on your digital wallet. You can always verify it because of the blockchain to make sure that you actually have it. It's divisible. You can trade down to 8 satoshis, which is 8 decimal points of Bitcoin, which is so much less than even 1 cent. That's something you can easily do with a digital wallet. It's very scarce because there will only ever be 21 billion Bitcoin and no more than that. And that makes it worth so much more and gives it that resistance to inflation. And so, looking at all of that, with Bitcoin being superior to gold and to the US dollar, a lot of people see that it could completely change the finance industry in the coming years because it is a better source of money. You don't have to trust a banker or middleman. And so, a lot of people see that it could take over as money, and a lot of the cryptocurrencies will grow and they'll have their use cases. Once again, it's important to do your research on each one because some cryptos will grow and there'll be incredible opportunities for future technology, and some of them will fail and will be worth nothing. But personally, for Bitcoin at least, I see Bitcoin being worth exceptionally more in the future. It's a great investment. It's really going to change the way that we look at money and the way that we do our transactions day to day. And I'm excited to see where it takes us in the future.
Very true. I think me and Jack, and I think everybody else tuning into the show today learned a lot from you, Colin. So a huge thank you. Thank you for coming. Thank you for all the information.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Yeah, just to echo Nick, I know we learned a ton and we are so appreciative that you would come on the show. It is always a blast having you on.
Yeah, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure, Jack and Nick. I enjoyed it.
All right, everybody, it is now time. For I know it's my favorite part. I know Jack loves it too, but we have the quote of the show today. Now, Jack, I think you're gonna like this one a lot. It's pretty simple, but it hits it, I feel like it hits so hard.
Okay,
So
let's
today,
hear it. I'm
yeah, we talked a
excited.
lot about crypto, we talked a lot about the future, but I want to bring it back to focusing on today, okay? So
Okay.
sometimes you are so focused on the future that you don't realize that you're in the middle of what you once prayed for.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's good.
I like
That is,
that. I like
that's
that
like
one a
a
lot.
deep quote right there.
It hits close to it
Wow.
hits hard. I like it a lot.
Wow, that's really good. I'm gonna try to live today by that quote right there. That is a great quote. Do you have a speaker? Is that one by a specific speaker
No,
or
so that one I couldn't find. So I couldn't give credit to anybody who said it, but whoever
credit
did,
to us then.
yeah, credit to
Credit
us.
Nick Schlim. Nick Schlim with that quote right there.
I thought of that this morning. I'm just
I just pulled that one from the old dome during my deep philosophical thinking right there.
Yep.
No, that's fantastic, man. Never disappoint with quotes. But I guess that'll just about do us for the episode today. Thank you so much for listening. We hope you guys had a blast and learned a lot, like we said earlier. We certainly did. It's always fantastic having Colin on the show. You know, hopefully in another, I think it's been exactly 10 episodes since he was first on. So maybe in another 10, we'll have him back on. But thank you so much for the support. We really hope you guys enjoyed.
Yep, and just to everything Jack said for me as well, thank you for tuning in. Here's to 22 episodes, and then let's get ready for 23.
That's right.
All righty, guys. Thank you for listening, and bye for now.